Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you seated yet? Some of y'all think I'm going to say stand up again. No, I'll go ahead and sit down. Boy, isn't it great to laugh? Man, a Christian needs to have a great big smile everywhere we go. I like that part of that other song that talks about when we're lifting up our hands and they're asking you, why? Why are you doing this during these days? And we will say, we're just loving our King. I'm just loving my King. Amen. Amen. Well, don't you love the word coming forth? Well, welcome your pastor, Pastor John. Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we're so glad to be here this morning. I'm going to Pastor Terry Axman. Did I have an announcement? I didn't, but Pat just reminded me. Brother Pat, the restaurant is not going to open on time. They're going to have to push it out a couple more weeks to complete everything. So if you got the newsletter and you got a time, they're going to push it out a couple more weeks, okay? So is that correct? Okay. All right, so if you would, let's get in the word of the Lord, and I want to just make full use of my time this morning, and I thank God for the opportunity to be here and share the word of God this morning. How many know that if we ever needed the word of God, we need it now, amen? You know, and we just thank God for it, amen? If you'll go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and that's where we'll start this morning. And let me get my stuff together here. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. And God, we thank you already for your presence that is here, Lord. And God, we're so grateful, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we will have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning. And God, that not only hear, but we'll begin to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Did I tell you that? I got a bad habit of saying, go here. And my wife always tell me, you didn't give us the right chapter. Okay, but I just want to make sure this morning. All right, and this is a letter Paul has penned to the Corinthians. If you know anything about Paul's writing, a lot of times you know that when he wrote to the churches, it was to warn them about some false apostle or some false prophet or some Judaism that's trying to enter the church and pull us back under the law. So what Paul is talking about this morning in the 11th chapter, I begin reading at verse 1. And guess what? I was in the wrong book. I mean, yeah, but the wrong chapter. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. The right book, but the wrong chapter. Okay. The 11th chapter. Okay. Verse 1. He said, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, a little of my foolishness. Okay. But anyway. But indeed, you bear with me. You are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicities and purity of devotion in Christ. Now, that word simplicities, we know that it is a downsizing. It is a word that we look at in the natural, you know, to where, you know, it's just the natural things, the simplicity of things, you know, not going off on the deep end. But what it really means is to be sincerity, singleness of devotion, single-mindedness, faithfulness, first to God, and faithful towards others, manifesting in hopefulness and giving assistance to others. That's what the word really means. And Paul is saying to them that I fear least, as the serpent deceived Eve in the garden, that you become what? Go astray from the simplicities of loving and caring for each other. First of all, loving God, and then loving each other. And Paul compared the church to Eve in the garden. And how many know we read in Genesis how the serpent deceived Eve with the trickery of giving her to entice her and tricking her to think that God's word did not mean what God said. That was the whole trick. But a greater trick was that she began to listen to what he was saying. And she began to conversate. This is why you can't play games with the devil. Some people say, well, you know, I'm going to play with him a little bit. Honey, you don't want to play with him. Because he don't play fair. See, he's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. See, you got to know that the enemy is angry, you know, and people have the audacity to say, you know, well, I'm just going to make him madder. You know, let me tell you something. You cannot make this dude no madder than what he already is. The Bible said he's come down with great wrath. And he's already mad. You know why? Because you have fulfilled the place in God that he never will be able to fulfill anymore. He lost his position, and guess what? You are filling it. Oh, glory. So Paul is saying, look, I have engaged you to this husband, but there's an enemy that I'm afraid that's causing you to stray away from this husband that I have engaged you to. That your devotion to Christ, the simplicity, the purity of fellowshipping and loving with God, he's trying to do what? Cause you to stray. But there's a reason why, and there is an instrument that he's using that Paul is talking about here. Verse 4 says, for if one comes preaching another Jesus. Listen. For if one come preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not the least of inferior to the most eminent apostles. And that word eminent, what it means is these apostles that have mingled in with the true apostles, that they call themselves the super apostles. See, but that's where they mess up at, because, you know, Jesus never had super apostles. He had apostle servants, bond slaves that have chose this lifestyle, not to promote themselves, but to promote Christ. And anytime that you hear somebody promoting self, you can guarantee that they're not the true apostles of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the true apostles are foundation builders. They bring instruction and they bring government to the church to begin to train the church how they should conduct themselves. But a false apostle, these super apostles, is all about this rhetoric and fancy words that have no meaning to bring maturity to the body of Christ. It's only to bring attention to themselves with their rhetoric to say, man, they are a well-spoke person. They can really speak well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That must be the anointing. Think not. And this is what we're living in. And Paul said, I'm not inferior to these guys. Listen what Paul says here. Okay? He says, I consider myself not in the least inferior of these most eminent apostles. These rhetoric speakers, these elegant speakers. But even if I am unskilled in speech, that's where I fall in. Yet I am not so in knowledge, because my knowledge comes from him. My revelation comes from him. In fact, even in every way, we have made this evident or manifested to you in all things. Now, let's get into this. I want to share three things with you, and those three things are, first of all, another Jesus. Because Paul, this is what Paul is saying. If someone come preaching another Jesus, which these false apostles or these super apostles were trying to do, is to bring that attention to themselves, to promote themselves, Paul said, listen, I am afraid that you're about to give in to something that you have not received. You're about to accept a Jesus that we have not preached. Because the Jesus that we preach teaches us that if any man come after him, he must first deny himself. Amen. Not promote himself. Amen. Amen? So Jesus said this in John 14. 14 and 5. St. John 14 and 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. See, that's the Jesus that Paul preaches. This is not another Jesus. But I mean, you know, we're living in a day and time now that people are trying to come up with another gospel and another Jesus. I want to tell you today, and I want to stir up in your mind to stick to the scriptures, the Bible that Jesus have left for us, amen, to give us a way, the way to God. It's not through the super apostles, but it's through Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. The way means that I am the path. I'm the road in which one travels to get to God. Amen. Jesus in John 10 says, I am the door. And if any man enter any other way, he's a robber and a thief. Amen? Amen. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. The truth is, let me go back to this way for a minute here, okay? Because the way means a path. Now, when I was a little boy, might tell you how old I am, but I don't look that old, so it don't matter. But when I was a little boy, you know, we would go to our cousin's house, you know, and they would have a path that would go down to the spring, you know, to go swimming, fishing, or whatever. But how did I know what the path, how did I find the path, you know, how did I find a way to that spring when they said, go to the path and just go down that way? You know why the path gave me a sign to where it was? Because it had been traveled many times and it left a path. See, and what Paul is saying, you know, I don't want you to stray away from the path that has been laid before you. See, the path has already been traveled. And what Jesus is saying, my way, I have already walked it. If you would just follow my path. Amen? So, and then he said, I'm not only the way, but I'm the truth. As the truth means as the unveiled reality. He's the unveiled reality. When you look at Jesus, we see the manifestation of who? God himself. Because he was the revealed reality of who God really was. The reality as pertaining to an appearance. when we look at Jesus and we see him, I mean, you know, the truth is, this is the reality of God. The life, whew, I like this one, referring to the principle of life in the spirit. See, and what we have to understand, I'm going to move on here, but what we have to understand when Paul said there in Romans 8, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he said, who the Spirit, see, and I know there's some misquoting verses, there's some verses in there that has been added with man, I won't get into all that, but he said, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the spirit of what? From sin, not the spirit, but from sin and death. See, that's the principle. Spirit, the life-giving spirit that sets us free. See, and what the enemy want to do is raise up a Jesus that don't have life. He wants you to go astray to after a Jesus that cannot give you life. Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. See, he's the only life-giving spirit that can bring transformation to make you like himself. So what Paul is saying, I don't want you to stray away from this. So what I'm reminding you today is who you are and who God is, who Jesus is. Do you not know that the apostles was unlearned men, but they had to take notice that they had been with Jesus? Oh, glory. It's the life-giving spirit that brings transformation that a man might not have but a fifth grade education, but he can turn the whole world upside down, and his name was Smith Wigglesworth. Woo! Glory to God. I'm trying to stay. I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome. Amen. There is no other like him. Amen. When you're all alone and you can just whisper Jesus, amen, and things begin to happen. Peace begin to come. I'm telling you, this dude is bad. He's a bad dude. I'm telling you. Y'all are saying, man, you condensing Jesus to a dude? Let me tell you, he is a dude. He's a bad dude. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he breaks every chain. Amen. And he put lives back together again. He restored the hope. Oh, hallelujah. It's a bad, just Jesus, I tell you. Let me, whoo, glory. Preaching myself happy this morning. But he's the life-giving spirit that saves us. Amen? Let's look at Matthew 24. Some people say, oh, this is in red? Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. I get you the verse. Just go to 24. I hear somebody say, what verse? Okay. Matthew 24. And let's see. Where am I? Oh, 24 and verse 4. Okay. 24 and verse 4. It says, and this is Jesus talking to the disciples. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one mislead you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And will mislead many. See, we grab the wars and rumors of wars, but we got to understand what Jesus is saying here. I want you to take heed to this. Pay attention to this. That you don't be misled by these false Christs that are beginning to promote themselves. And let me tell you how they promote themselves. This is what they say. Come, hear this great anointed man or woman of God. Amen. Fill the car up, honey. Let's go. Don't you be misled. What he's saying here, they might not come out and say Christ. What Christ means is the anointed. And when a man or woman begin to promote themselves and say, I'm the anointed, hey man, you better take heed and don't be misled. I'm not saying to you that you can't hear other preachers or other women or other men of God, but what I'm saying is this is not a promotion of self. We need to get the main thing back to the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And he's the resurrection. He's the life changer. So Jesus said, beware of these things so you don't be misled. Many will come saying, I'm Christ. I'm telling you, don't even follow a sign. You know why? Because signs was never for us to be following. They were to follow us. Say, well, they raising the dead, they healing the sick. Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, did we not prophesy? Do we not do this? Do we not do that? He said, but I will profess to them, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I never sat down and we never sat down and broke bread to where we begin to know each other. We never had koinonia. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But you got to understand something. We're living in the last days. This is why you're going to see more of it. You know why? Because Satan is the instigator of it all. That's why Paul is saying, I fear least as a serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness. Paul even went further to say, some angels have transformed themselves into angels of light. We got to have discernment, church. Not suspicion, but discernment, spiritual discernment. I'm not looking for a devil behind every post. You know why? He will manifest himself soon enough. I'm not looking for him. What I'm looking for is to become more like Jesus. Amen? Because the more I get like him, guess what? The more I'm going to act like him, and the more I'm going to have discerning like him. Hallelujah. So, that's the Jesus that we serve. Let's look at Acts 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're telling us to turn to a lot of stuff. Hey, man, I'm sure am. It got me before it got you, so I'm just giving you the what I got. Amen. Acts 4 and verse 12. And this is a discussion going on because Peter and John just healed the man at the beautiful gate. Now, these Pharisees and these so-called high dictators, terrorists, is beginning to question them and say, now, what power did you do this in? How did you get this man healed? How did this stuff happen? And Peter looked at him and said, that same Jesus that you crucified has become the head cornerstone. And verse 12 picked it up and he said, and there is salvation in no else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So you can X out this saying, there are many ways to God. Oh yeah, there are many ways to God. What God are you talking about? The God we sung about, Jehovah, there is only one way to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. Don't come with me talking about y'all. You know it's many ways. Ain't that right, brother? No, that ain't right. I had a young man to tell me that we was in the barbershop, and he was just a, you know, he had that charisma. I mean, he was quoting scriptures and he was just laying it out there. And I'm thinking, my God, this guy's good. You know, and he messed around and said, we're all God's children. There's many ways to God. Ain't that right, brother? I said, no. I said, no. And he backed up. He said, talk to the barber. He asked the barber, he said, tell him, ain't I right? He said, no. I said, we are all not the children of God. We all are created by God, but we're all are not God's children. You got to be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ to be a son or daughter of God. This just don't happen because you out here throwing a bunch of scriptures around. Brother, you must be born again. And you know what? See, the Spirit of God is so much wiser and got so much more wisdom than John got. All I just need to do is just respond to what he's doing. Yeah. Notice what I said. Respond to what he's doing. Yeah. And that young man, he said, looked at me, he said, well, I ain't never heard it like that. I said, that's okay. I just want to help you out, brother. You need to be born again to be a son or daughter of God. He said, what do you mean be born again? I said, be born from above by his Spirit. And then you become a son or daughter of God. You know, I didn't want to get in no flesh and blood battle because I knew what was going on. It was a spirit operating now. It was a religious spirit. And that's what we don't need to come unglued and want to fight and kick and scram and say, well, let me tell you something. No, you ain't got to do all that. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. And just let them know, look, can I share something with you? Can I just share something with you? See, because see, when you get all buffed up and puffed up and hollering, I got the truth, let me tell you a thing or two. What you're doing, you're causing a conflict to happen. See, there's a time and a place for that, but sometimes you just need to back off and be calm and grin that you know the answer to what's going on. You know, it's almost like in a classroom and that one over there, you know, you go, oh, I know the answer to that. I'm just waiting on her to call on me. Boy, I got the answer. But there is another Jesus. And there is no other Jesus. Excuse me. There is another. There is no other Jesus. This is him. And Peter was letting him know this is it. Okay? So Paul went on to say a different spirit. That's three things Paul told him. He said, look, you're about to be strayed away here, and there is no other Jesus. There is not a different spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Listen what Paul is saying here, okay? We know there is not another Jesus. Can you say amen? No other Jesus, but which one? This one that what? He died on the cross. That's the Jesus we preach. Amen? That's the Jesus that will save you from sin. That's the Jesus that will deliver you and bring you. Amen? That hell cannot claim you. Amen? But he didn't only want you to believe on Jesus. He wanted to give you a part of him, which is his Spirit. And Paul said, a different spirit which you have not received. Notice in chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, verse 10, he said, now we have received not the spirit of what? The world. See, the spirit of the world is the spirit that is of this culture. We have not received the spirit of the world. Other words, we're not being dictated by the world's standard or the world's principles. Okay? Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Notice he said, the things that are freely given to us. Do you not know God gave you his Spirit so he can begin to reveal himself to you? Without the Spirit, you won't know who Jesus Christ is. This book is not interpreted by human effort, but it's interpreted by the Holy Spirit. These were holy men of God who wrote this Bible, who penned this Bible. Therefore, it takes the Spirit of God to interpret what the Bible is saying. This is why I thank God for a pastor that teaches the Word of God and tells you to go back and look at it and make sure what I'm saying is the Bible. Why? Because that's where we began to gain confidence. Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech, but I come to you in the power of God so that your faith will not stand in man, but your faith will be in God. I'm not preaching you to look at me. I'm going through the same stuff you're going through, and I'm dealing with some of the same stuff you're dealing with. But what we have to understand is that we must apply the word of God and begin to resist what the devil is saying. That's why James 4:7 says, submit to God, submit to the authority, come under the authority of God's word and resist the devil, and he will flee. But we're trying to resist him without submitting. It won't work that way. So freely, say freely. God has given it to me freely. I don't have to work for it. People holler, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Let me tell you something. Quit trying to do a whole lot and just start being. Quit trying to do everything and just respond to what God is saying. Just respond. It's free. Now people say, well, you know, you got to work for this thing. You got to do this. You got to do that. You only have to do what the word of God tells you to do. See? And that's why it's so important we have the Spirit of God so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? That a workman be not ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth, you know, and so that we'll be acceptable to God. Not people, but to God. See, but where the enemy wants us to take on all these different Jesus, another spirit, you know, you got to do all this stuff, you know, come on, get out of here, get, you know, got to go through this tagger, got to go through this ritual, you know, you got to burn candles, you got to do this, come on now, come on, you get, this being freely given to you. Well, why? How do I know that it's the true Spirit of God? Jesus said this. He said, if you ask the Father for the Spirit, he's not going to give you a scorpion or a serpent or a rock or anything. He's going to give you what you ask for. See, God is not trickery. The devil is trickery. God is right up front with us. Amen? He's not trying to entice you to sin or entice you to do anything. God is saying, there's no evil in me, so I can't tempt you with it. Amen? I'm trying to show you the right way. That's why the enemy want to do away with Jesus. That's why he want to do away with the Spirit. Why? Because he know that these are the things that make the church who they are. St. John 14:16, a different spirit. How many know we've received not the spirit of the world? Paul said the way we escape the world is be transformed. On Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we going to test these things? By renewing our mind to the word of God so that when the enemy bring these lies to us, we can begin to say, I rebuke these lies, but I receive the truth of God's word of who I am. Amen? Amen? St. John 14:16, I would ask the Father and he would give you another helper. This another helper is the same one. Jesus said, I'm going to give you one just like me. The same kind I am to you, that's the way the helper is going to be to you. He's just going to be in spirit form. And he's the helper. Who is he wanting to help? Me. You know why? You know John needed. That boy need help, Lord, so give him the Spirit so he can get some help. Amen. That he may be, listen, that he may be with you forever. Amen. Quit being the victim, talking about, I'm so alone. You just don't understand. He said he's going to be with you forever. Amen. Talk to the Holy Spirit. If you think you're alone, talk to him. Say, Holy Spirit, I just love you. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you're going to help me. You know, there are times when I can't figure things out and I just go talking to the Spirit. Lord, you got to help me. I can't figure this one out, Lord. I don't know what to do here. And all of a sudden, something pop in my head and it works. That he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of what? Truth. The spirit of truth. And know how parallel this is. God is not separating himself, but he's aligning himself with what? Truth. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. See, God is lining this thing up. And what we need to do is just align ourselves with what? The truth of God's word. Amen? And he said, that is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. See, the world don't know him. The world only goes by what they see and feel. See, but we got to get to the place to where we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by what the words say. We're moved by what God is saying. See, because sometimes things look good don't mean it's good for you. Some people are saying, oh, the grass is so much greener on the other side. Honey, you don't know what's in that grass. You better stay where you at. You better stay where you at, and that's with God. Because he does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides within you. He abides in you. Ephesians 1 and 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth. See, listening to the message of truth. The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Ooh, we got so much more to come in God. Amen. To be revealed to us. See, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal your inheritance. Amen. See, it's in you. But guess what? He got to reveal it to you so that you'll begin to walk in your inheritance. See, we use this scripture, I'm the head and not the tail. Let me tell you something. You really will be the head when you understand your inheritance in him. Amen? And that's what the Spirit want to do with a view to redemption of God's own possession. How many know we're his possession? That's why we praise him so much to his glory. Okay, one more in the spirit, okay? One more is this one. When the helper comes, this is John 15, 26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. See, that's where we begin to understand that from anybody that was trying to preach or say anything about Jesus, the Spirit of God is going to testify about God, Jesus. See, I'm not going to testify about John. I have a testimony because of what Jesus have done in my life. See, I'm not boasting, but I'm boasting about what he has done, not what I'm doing. Amen? Okay, so that's two, okay? We've covered Jesus, we've covered the Spirit. Then he said, a different gospel, which you have not accepted. What is the gospel? The good news. The gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God and salvation through Christ. Amen? So let me tell you something. I'm rounding it off. I'm on my last point here. Without the gospel, see, Jesus is all about the gospel. The Bible says the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel. He went about healing people. He went about opening the blinded eyes. The kingdom of God was being demonstrated. He was telling them, the kingdom have come now to you. It's within arm reach of you. Amen. If you need healing, how many know it's in the kingdom? Amen. So what Jesus is preaching, what Jesus preached was the gospel, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And salvation through Christ. Okay? The basic facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is according to the scriptures. You can find that in Corinthians 15, 1 through Corinthians 15, 1 through 5, and it talks about how we're saved, the scriptures of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And when we try to make it anything else, we take away from what Jesus have already established. Mark 1:14 says, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Turn from your sin. Turn from your way. Change the way you think. Amen. Because there is a new kingdom, and it's called the kingdom of God. Amen. And the kingdom is within us by the Holy Spirit. He's in us to govern us. Amen? What the kingdom really means is a kingdom that is ruled by God. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "What would you like the comparison?" And we had this in Bible study a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Terry was teaching about the kingdom of God is like leaven being put in dough. And when it gets put in the dough, the heat begins to cause it to rise, but the leaven takes over the dough. See, what God's aim is for the kingdom to take over us, to spread in us. In those errors that we can't control, amen, desires, amen, that the kingdom of God can begin to expand, amen, to take over those things, and you begin to be governed by God in those areas. Whew, that's what the kingdom is. See, it's a kingdom that's ruled by God. It's God's way of doing things. And God is saying, "I want to take over you, John. I want to possess you to where when things begin to happen, amen, you don't come unglued, but my nature and my character begins to spread up in you because of the heat of the battle." That's why we need some heat sometimes. It'll purify. It'll show you what's in you. Amen. The gospel. We know it's the good news. Romans 1:15. "So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes." Let me tell you why the devil don't want us to get into the gospel, because the gospel is the only thing that can bring you back to your original intent. We can read all of the books and it's fine to read, but when we begin to read the Bible, our true identity is in the book. So when we begin to study the Word of God and allow that Word to transform us, the Word will tell us who we are, amen? It will show us our position. So what the enemy want to do is take us to another gospel that cannot transform us. He want to give you a gospel that's watered down. But I'm telling you, the gospel is the power of God. Amen. It's the power of God unto salvation. In other words, it has the ability to bring change in a life that is hooked on drugs. A woman that's selling her body. A man that's conniving women. That gospel is able to change him and convert him to a man or woman of God that will begin to walk and carry out the character of God. And people look at him and say, "What happened?" It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the gospel. And that's why the enemy fights it so bad. That's why he want to do away with it. Because, see, the gospel gives us a new what? A new life. If any man is in Christ, guess what? He's a new creature. He's a new species. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to understand something about the gospel. It will transform you. And that's what the enemy don't want. See, what the enemy want to say, "Well, you know, that gospel is a little rugged and a little hard, but you need a gospel that everybody just gets along. You know, it makes you better." Let me tell you something. How it just want everybody to be happy. You know, that ain't in the gospel. See, Jesus never said he want to make you better. He said, I want to make you whole. I don't want to make you better. I want to change who you are. I don't want to just change who you are, but I want you to know your position in me. I want you to know who I am. Because see, when you know who I am and I begin to reflect in you, guess what? Change is coming. Change is coming. But what if I messed up? Get up. Get up. You know why? Because we all have messed up. We all have missed it, and we're going to miss it some more. But the good news is that God is not going to forsake you when you mess up. God is going to deal with your heart. He's going to bring conviction on you. He's going to tell you you are better than that. He's going to tell you to get up and get back in the race. Amen. It ain't over for you. Come on, child of God. Get up. Amen. See, that's what the gospel will do for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? You know, and I know where my time is back gone. But listen to me. There was a man one time. That was a young man. And that was this old man. And you know, and they was reciting the 23rd Psalm. And this young man got up, you know, with all his charisma. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You know, and he went on. So the old man got up, got to the podium, looked at the people, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the people went to crying and going on, and the old man just walked on off. You know what? And then the young man come to him. He said, sir, can I ask you one thing? He said, me and you both said the same thing. He said, but when you said it, they crying and cheering and going on. He said, son, let me tell you something. I'm not just saying something. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. See, it's a difference when he's personal and a difference than you just saying something. That's what the super apostles were doing. But see, Paul said, look, I might not have all that eloquent of speech and all that, but you know something? I have knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have been with the Lord. Amen. The Lord has transformed me. And therefore, when I begin to preach to you, amen, it's no longer I that preach, but it's Christ in me. Amen. And I preach Christ and him crucified. Amen. And then Paul said, it is the power of God. It has the ability to bring deliverance, salvation. You know, it brings deliverance to us. Amen. That's why the gospel gives us hope. It gives us hope. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteousness that he's talking about is this, that our right standing with God. God is no longer, we're no longer separated from God. We're in right standing with him. All my righteousness was as filthy rag. But when Jesus said, look, he became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What he's saying is, I'm making you righteous so you can approach me anytime. Anytime. See, righteous gives me the right to my God. And not only that, righteous gives him the right to have ownership. Say, it gives him the right to have ownership. And until we come under that knowledge of understanding that, we'll go out here trying to do our own righteousness. What Paul said is according to the law. But when he came to the righteousness, which is of faith, he realized it wasn't his righteousness, but it was God's righteousness that God had given him. It's all God's. And God has given it to us to do what? Enjoy life and have it more abundantly. My last scripture, and I'm closing. Galatians 1. Paul said, I'm afraid as the enemy deceived Eve with his trickiness that you be strayed away from your pure devotion, that there will be another Jesus. There will be another spirit. There will be another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And guess what? the gospel that we're talking about here is in Galatians 1 and 6 says, "For I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by his grace, by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel." Look, the Galatians were being moved away from the gospel of grace. And you know what they was about to embrace? Judaism, the law. And people say, "Well, you know, we do live by the Ten Commandments." Excuse me, hold it, time out. No, we don't. It was fulfilled in one commandment, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, he fulfilled it. Couldn't none of us live the Ten Commandments because we were dead people. That's why the law wouldn't work for us. But Jesus came through grace and truth by the Spirit of God. The second Adam is a quickening spirit that will breathe life into you and I and make us alive to where we can respond to the Word of God. That I'm not a dead man, I'm alive now, and I can live out the Word of God. Why? Because of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So Paul said, "You're so quickly moving from this for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort," listen, "want to distort the gospel of Christ." That word distort means to twist, to take it from its original intent, that it don't work the way it should. So what he want to do is distort the gospel. "Well, you know, you can do all this and do all." No, you've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You are his. So what the enemy want, he want to distort it. He want to twist it. This old system, this culture want to twist things. Having this group against this one. These people against these people. He's wanting to twist it. When the gospel says, if you're in Christ, guess what? It don't matter what color your skin, we're all brothers and sisters. We're in the family of God. So, but he wants to twist it. But listen what Paul says here. They want to distort the gospel of Christ. "But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed, condemned by God." So Paul is saying, "I'm warning you, church, don't be taken astray from your pure devotion to God." Because Jesus said this to the church in Revelation, and I'm closing, Ephesians. He said, "You did well, but there's one thing. You have left your first love." And that's what the enemy want to do to us. He want to take us and cause us to stray from the gospel, from Jesus, the Spirit, the gospel. Why? Because as long as we're under the gospel and that gospel is preached to us, it does something to our spirit that gives us a passion for God. But all this other junk is just going to contaminate us and cause us to be one-sided and nearsighted and blind by the things of this culture. But the devil is a lie. I will speak the truth and lie not. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the only spirit that can lead and guide us into truth. The gospel is the only gospel that can bring change to a life. And Paul said, all these eloquent speakers. And Paul said it this way. Though you have 10,000 instructors. And what he's saying, though you have all these bar teachers going around here trying to teach and do these things, you have not many fathers. Amen. And what Paul was speaking to the Corinthians is this: I fathered you, and I will not sit back and let these false apostles begin to take you away from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the gospel. Amen. How many know Jesus is the gospel? Amen. The Holy Spirit is the gospel. Amen. The gospel is what Jesus come to preach, the good news to us, that we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to live defeated. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be discouraged. Amen. It's good news. To bring us back in alignment for what Jesus died for. And when he said, it is finished. The work is finished. Amen? And guess what? I'm finished. Amen. Amen. So don't you be led astray from your devotion. Devotion is important. Amen. I'm not just talking about getting you a little track and reading it, you know. I mean pure devotion, your allegiance to Jesus Christ. I pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Amen. Amen. And how many know the Bible said where he's Lord, guess what? That's freedom. The spirit of liberty is there. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. And God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we know, God, that there's so many things going on in the world, God. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm part of the family. Thank you for the words that you've given me today to share with your people, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will seal this word, Lord. And God, that you will bring it back to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit, like you said you would, Lord. And God, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will strengthen your church, God, and help us to realize it's not over for us. We're going to shine brighter than ever before. God, we're going to have victories greater than before. Father, I just thank you right now for this group, this family that's here today, Father, and those that are watching by line, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will circumcise our ears, Lord. God, that we will hear what your spirit is saying to the church, and God, that we will respond to what you're saying. And Lord, we close the door to the enemy, Father. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus. God, if any have went astray, God, that you will bring them back in right alignment. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. Do we have anybody here that need to be saved? You don't know Jesus. Just have a seat for a second. Just sit right. Just hold on. One, give me 5 seconds. Is there anybody here that don't know him? Amen. Okay, we're all family. Okay, well, let's stand then. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord, and God, as we depart from this place, never your presence. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.